sound of spring. Okay, tonight we will finish up this whole concept thing by going through Peter's Great Commission, how it blended in with Paul, and then Paul kept it going, and even though it's all the way to the end of Acts 28, it's taken him that long to pull away from the Jews. And again, what did he have to say to the Jews? What he had to say to the Jews is verse 20, is the Hebrews. And yet I think he also still taught that stuff to the Jews that he talked to the Gentiles, because in Romans 11, which is a chapter to really read slowly to understand about the position of the Jews and all this stuff, where he says to provoke them to jealousy. And if they didn't know what it was that was being offered to the Gentiles, how would they know to be jealous? See my point? So the Jews still had to hear what was being offered to the Gentiles, and the Jews could have had it. I mean, they could have jumped in there, but they chose not to, as we see more of it tonight. And every time Paul would open his mouth, they tried to kill the poor guy. Well, we understand that from a mental standpoint. You say anything about King James Bible, some people accept it. If you say anything about rightly divided, fewer people accept it, but there is a rightly divided crowd out there. And then when you say Paul, even fewer people accept it. And when you say Paul only, you're in a camp all by yourself. You're out there, but that's what I said seven or 8 years ago, and we camped at Mount St. Helens. And when I recognized if we're going to be out in the nature, we can't go to a state park where there's all these rules and regulations. It was raining, and the camp warden would not allow us to have a campfire. We could burn the forest down. Fire danger was high. And I remember saying, but it's raining. She said, it doesn't matter. I said, but it's raining. So then I harassed the lady all the time I'd see her. Said, well, sure up the forest doesn't catch on fire in this rain tonight. So that's when I heard the loud people from the campsites around us. And I said, you know what? If we're going to go out and to be with God, you've got to get away from all these camps and all these denominational schools of thought and just get out there to be with God. Didn't know what that meant at the time. At least I thought I did, but apparently not, because now here we are. It's just us and God through that Bible. And it's turned my world around. And it's turned the world around of people around me. Yet they've done the same thing that the Jews, the law, the work people did, because they try to kill you over it, even though they hear it. So you get some more illustrations from that, but I'm trying to stay away from that, learning from Paul in this Acts, because this isn't about the study of Paul's life, like I wish it was. I enjoyed studying his life as a person and how they handle him. And it's not about Paul's doctrine. It's been to show Paul's activity with miracles and healings, because that's the Great Commission. That's not Paul's gospel that he teaches to the Gentiles. So my point is, if somebody says, well, Paul baptized, don't forget to say to them, oh yes, not only did Paul baptize, but he had to lay hands on them. Not only did he lay hands on them, he did healings. Not only did he did healings, he did this, and he did that, and he did this, and he did that. If you're going to claim one thing from the book of Acts that Paul did, you better claim them all. And the Baptist guys won't claim all that stuff. They just want to claim the one where he baptized. They obviously missed the next verse where it says, and then he laid hands on them for them to receive the Holy Ghost on them. So, it's just ignorance of the Scriptures. I don't say that judgmentally, it's just that we don't know what the Bible says, because we've all agreed to this, that we've all let our pastors teach us instead of reading the Bible ourselves. So, and all I want to do, even to DJ there, other than quit yawning here, is to get him to understand how to rightly divide his Bible and jump into that thing and see what God has for him. Because I don't know. I just know that God's will is for us to follow Paul. And not just a bunch of rules, but the joy and the doctrinal depth and the peace and the understanding, all that stuff that's there. And then you start looking at the change in your life thing, because it's the reasonable service, like I said this morning, the sacrifice we have to make. Few of us are willing to do that anymore these days. It's just too tough to us anyway. So let's get back and finish this thing up. Boy, if I got the yawns. Wow, Grant, that's nothing new. You go to Acts 22, where I left off this morning. I'm going to jump right into 28, but right now let's start with Acts 22, and we see that if we go back to the 30s verses, take your pick in there. He's having his chance to speak again, and he says in 35. It says here, when he came upon the stairs, so it was, because he was arrested, and they're going to put harm on him and the whole thing. All the city was moved, in verse 30, and people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut as they went about to kill him. And the guy got himself mixed up in the purification thing, and they noticed, they recognized who he was, and they went after him, because he taught against Moses, etc., etc. And he says in verse 20, he's crying out, men of Israel. These guys yell, men of Israel, help this guy. This is the guy. So he's in with a bunch of Jews. That's where he's at. Okay, that's the point. And so we get down to verse 37. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, because the captain came and rescued him because he was about to get clobbered here. And he said, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days made an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. You know, this captain guy asked Paul, can you speak Greek? I mean, you speak Greek, right? And he says, no, I want to talk to the people. And when he had given him a license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, men and brethren, da-da-da-da. Verse 2, and when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, as he saith. Then he goes on and he gives his testimony there. And that makes me think of, you know, we have Christians. We can start talking in the Christian lingo. We can start talking about Bible and this and that, whatever. You would think they would stop and listen. Oh, so this guy says he's a Christian. And then we start showing some things in our testimony. It does. It's just, and if you keep reading here, this poor guy, every time he opens his mouth, he gets in trouble. They want to kill him. Looking at chapter 22, verse 14. We're just a couple quick little things here. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. This is what he had heard. And that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. See, isn't that good right there? Paul didn't come up with this stuff. And it wasn't by the Holy Ghost that God talked to him, as somebody said, teaches. No, he heard from the mouth of the risen Savior. So all these Christians who believe that Jesus Christ rose again, they all believe that. And they all know he's coming back. They don't understand that necessarily, but they claim this rapture thing, which is fine. I mean, it is there. But for some reason, they just don't want to hear what he says to us ever since he rose. They want to stick, this is for DJ, they want to stick to his teachings that he taught to the Jews. And they ignore what he taught to the Gentiles, because what he taught to the Gentiles was the risen Savior, what he wanted us to realize, as you read in Romans 11. But people that believe that Jesus rose again are ignoring what he taught when he rose again. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. It's so simple. And he did it through Paul. Now, he had some things that the risen Savior wanted the Jews to hear that wasn't taught in the Gospels. And where is that at? That's in the book of Hebrews. And we're seeing here that all through the book of Acts, there's Jews always present with this guy. So, why do they want to go to him? He says in verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. That's not what we do with baptism, but that's what they did then. He was in a trance in verse 17, and his testimony is there. And if we read through his testimony, it's like three or four different places he gives his testimony in these next couple of chapters, that our testimony is not exactly like his. So that's why God doesn't call us to for Paul to be our example. He's to be our ensample. He's there to show us the way. But we don't copy his life. Modern Bibles say to imitate Paul. Modern Bibles say to imitate Jesus Christ. Modern Bibles say to imitate God. To imitate God and Christ is your anti-God, anti-Christ. We can't imitate Christ. And to imitate Paul, we'd be stupid to imitate Paul, because look at all the beatings he got, and the shipwrecks and the whippings. And we don't even do, we're not even asked to do salvation the way Paul was. So I have to save her for Wednesday night, because we're not going to quite finish this enough tonight to get into this. But let's compare Paul's testimony, the ones that he gives to people, to our testimonies of today. We'll do that Wednesday night. Not that y'all are going to be there, but we'll do that Wednesday night. And we will do everything that Paul tells us to do. We'll learn everything. But there are some things that came about in Paul's life and his testimony that we don't have in ours, like a trance. We don't go into a trance, for as one example. And baptism, wash away sins, what is that? We know that isn't true. Now with Paul, we know that baptism doesn't even have to take place, because the baptism we're supposed to have is the one baptism, Paul calls it, the one baptism, and it's a spiritual baptism. It's not a water one, whether before, during, or after. The water baptism has nothing to do with anything. That was John's. And so everybody's trying to go back to these Jewish teachings of the Gospels, and they're rejecting Paul's writings. Okay. So look at 22, verse 22 in chapter 22, and then we'll go from here. You know, Paul gave this little talk here in verse 22. In fact, he says in verse 21 here, let's go back to 20. Paul had a hard sermon for these people. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So there's Paul explaining his mission. Well, they gave him audience unto this word. What word? Gentiles. And then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. So there's Paul being honest with his testimony. And somewhere along the line, when we give a testimony, some word just seems to kick people. Is it the word Paul? Is it the word King James Bible? Is it rightly dividing? What is it that shuts people down when they hear us talk, when we're talking Christianity or talking about the world's situation or the economy? As soon as that word is stated, they shut you out. So we know that. So there's a lot of similarities in our testimonies to Paul as well. But let's go on here. We'll do the testimony comparison later here. I see in 23, for example, verse 9. I just have to throw this in here. Look at 23, verse 9, where it says, and there arose a great cry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' part arose and strode, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. People don't realize that when they fight against this King James Bible, rightly divided, they're fighting against God. That's just what's happening. It's not against us, it's against God. And if we turn it into a personal battle, which I'm very famous for doing, turning this into a personal battle, they're fighting me. No, they're really fighting against God. If I could just, let God do the fight with the scriptures. Look at verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, the Lord said. See, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, and it didn't go over well, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Great. Going to go through it all over again. But he says, be of good cheer, Paul. And then we get down to verse 12 and 13, 14. There's a conspiracy against Paul, which we'll talk about later. Again, I don't want to just preach about Paul, but there's some great stuff to learn about Paul in here. This is conspiracy against him. They're ready to kill him, and they weren't going to eat until they killed him. Well, they didn't win, but there still is a conspiracy against him. And so for these people out there that say, do you believe in conspiracies? Well, yeah, two of them. One is that modern religion has taken people towards the Antichrist. That's one conspiracy. And two, the conspiracy against Paul. A rightly divided King James Bible, Paul alone. There's a conspiracy against that. Those are the two that are real. I do believe some of those other conspiracies, these guys have it right about the trade towers and the Pentagon and the Oklahoma. I don't have a problem with that stuff. I don't think the government is that clear to clean to think that they wouldn't do stuff like that. But, you know, that's not important. It's all part of the conspiracy to get people into this Antichrist mode. So when he comes back, he'll be willing, he'll rescue everybody. They'll be willing to be rescued. That's all it's about. And then against Paul. Okay, and we get into 24. You know, there's more things in there, but nothing that... What do we got here? Yeah, those are things that come up later with the testimony. We'll compare his testimony with us. Paul was accused of being a heretic because he believed what was written. That's us. Let's go to chapter 28, and let's finish up this these things that Paul is doing here that we don't do today. And Paul doesn't ask us to do it, and Paul wasn't doing that for Gentiles. But the Gentiles were there. But the Jews had to see that Paul was going under the Gentiles with a message far beyond whatever he taught to the Jews. And we see in verse 1, the shipwreck is over now. And DJ, if you want to read something really exciting, read his shipwreck chapter. That is fantastic. There's so much Paul in there. It's hilarious in some ways. Verse 1, and when they escaped, and they did, you know, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship in verse 44. But in verse 43, it said those that could swim got to land right away. And my whole preaching point is learn how to swim with this Bible. And you'll make it through this life much easier than hanging onto a board being bounced around by all the doctrine of people, you know. But we all get to land, verse 28, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. It means they really put the kindness on them. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. I like that. It gave them no little kindness. So Paul's got to do two more miraculous things here. Acts 28, the end of Acts, you know, and this is his jail time and the whole thing, and yet he does this. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And we're sure it wasn't that he wrapped around, because the way it describes it in the next chapter, it bit him and hung on, which is a fear I have out here in South Dakota big time. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. So, if I'm going to claim this little thing right here, Paul can claim this, why can't I claim this? I'll put my hand down behind that rock and just grab that rattlesnake. I'll let him bite me like they catch catfish down in the south. What do they call that? I forget what they call it down there. They just stick their hand down into this dirty creek and this big, huge catfish clamps onto their hand, so then they pull it out of the water. They become the bait themselves. I can't imagine doing that. But here's Paul. You know, he's by this wood pile, sticks his hand in there, gets bit by a snake, pulls the snake out. And there's no harm. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. See, I could get people to change their minds in this town if I could just go out there and grab a snake, let them bite me and throw them away and nothing happened to me. But that doesn't work. This is a Gentile. That's not the way God operates today. Okay, there's one of them. Verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. There it is again. Is the sound totally gone? Or just with Daniel? Back again, okay. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Here's Paul. This is the end of Acts, okay? And he's out there doing the stuff he's been doing. All these people come to Paul and he heals them. What a way to end this thing. Who also honored us with many honors, verse 10, and when we departed, they handed us such things as were necessary. Gave them all their needs. Okay, so there's two more final visual sign but things that took place from Paul. Not Peter, not Philip, Paul. And yet, do we claim those things today? No way. So if somebody says, well, Paul baptized. Well, yeah, Paul also got bit by a snake. No big deal. Paul also healed people. People came to him and he healed them. It wasn't just a chosen few. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux, and landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And we just keep going to verse 14, verse 4, three taverns, verse 16, came to Rome, centurion delivered the prisoners. But now here, so these guys are in jail, and Paul, in verse 16, was suffered to dwell by himself, allowed to suffer to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And we just kind of have to finish this up by reading this here. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, now by now he's written a bunch of things to the Gentiles. And this is the time he's writing Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians. And there's nothing Jewish in there at all. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, Jewish, or customs of our fathers, Jewish, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, Jews again, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of, didn't want to get them in trouble. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel... My whole observation this, as we've gone through this book of Acts is Paul, even though he was off to the Gentiles and he wrote what he wrote, Romans and Ephesians, all these books to the Gentiles, he still was trying. He still cared for the Jews. We know that in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So he gives... what he teaches to the Gentiles, he teaches that to the Jews. But as far as to the Jews directly and only, there's the book of Hebrews. As far as to the Gentiles only, all these other books that he wrote that start with the word Paul, I, Paul. But the Jews, if they're going to realize what it is that the Gentiles got, they had to hear him preach to the Gentiles that message of the mystery, etc., etc. So, the hope of Israel, wow. I am bound to this chain. And they said unto him in verse 21, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, or any of the brethren that came, showed, or spake any harm of thee. I mean, no, when it came right down to it, there were no charges. Nobody said anything. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For it's con- yeah, right. Yeah. For as concerning this sect... there you go. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. In other words, they wanted to hear what Paul had to say because, man, everybody hated what he was saying. Can you tell us what you're saying? So we can hate you too? And when they'd appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. There we go. Nothing spectacular there. From morning till evening. What an opportunity just to talk all day, just to go through this whole thing. Here we go, 24. This is where it happens. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. The heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So, this is the final kibosh on the Jews. Now let's look what Esaias, let's go back here, where it says, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. Let's just go back to Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Let's just see these verses here. Isaiah chapter 6. And people back in Tushy think I don't preach in the Old Testament enough. It's there for our learning and admonition, but it's not there to follow anyway. Isaiah 6:9, it says here, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. And just to kind of shoot the speed up a little bit here, you know, this is what we're dealing with today. People are hearing what we say, but they don't understand it. They see it in the King James Bible, but they don't really see it. Their heart is not understanding it at all. Their ears are dull of hearing. They're waxed gross. They don't hear it. We've come to that point again. And that's why in Romans 11:22, when that gets to a certain point, God says, listen, I'll cut off the Gentile nation again. Romans 11 is not about an individual. It's about the nation, the Gentile nation. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And the Gentiles are coming up the same way the Jews did. They don't want to hear about the goodness of God. Now, what the Jews didn't want to hear was the severity of God. Now, that didn't convince them. And then when the Messiah came along, they didn't believe him. They didn't understand. Now, the Gentiles have had this time. They've had this dispensation of grace from Paul, Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3. A DJ, read that chapter slow. It's a fantastic chapter. And now people don't want to hear it. It's coming around to bite the Gentiles again, too. So that's Isaiah 6. Look at Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27, verse 11. When the bows thereof are withered, they shall be broken off, and women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. 44, Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44:18. For they have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes and that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. This is the story of the Jews. This is their testimony. Look at 56, Isaiah 56, verse 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain, from his quarter. Come, they say, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. So, look at verse 10. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. You can say that about the preachers and pastors today, you know, really. And then we go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. He's done that to the Jews forever. But ye have sought at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. See, now preachers, they try to put that on the Gentiles today. You know, because we did not choose the fear of the Lord. We're in a dispensation where it's the goodness of God that we're to look to. Paul talks about fearing the Lord, but that's in a respect all awful manner, that we to awe him, that he is God, of course. But to fear him putting a hammer down on us, it doesn't happen. And that's where you learn about the doctrine from Paul, about the spiritual circumcision. That's where you learn about imputation, all things are lawful, how he got rid of not just sins, but sin. And it goes on. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, verse 32, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's what's happening today. I mean, the wisdom is there. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, we have to hearken unto God according to Paul's way. The way of God more perfectly, it states. And yes, we should be quiet from fear of evil. Even though we know we're going to go through some hard times, we're not going to go through the tribulation. We're saved from God's wrath. All that stuff comes into play here. So we're just seeing here that at the end of Acts, Paul has given the Jews one more shot, and they still don't believe him. They end up fighting among themselves. And this is exactly what Esaias says, or the prophet said. And he says, go unto this people, verse 26 of Acts 28. Now this finishes it up. Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So, you know, DJ, as all of us have been through, keep looking into this rightly divided stuff with Paul, and you'll see your Bible come alive. And you'll have the religion in your life exposed. Or, I don't know you, but if you hate religion, which is glad, the folly and the fake of it all, then they don't throw the whole thing out. Just get into that Bible and see the truth. Religion is man's way of trying to make things work. And Paul and the Lord himself, the risen Savior, they don't teach a religion. But the Jewish do. And the modern churches are teaching a Jewish religion. Why? Well, because Revelation chapter 6 is when the Antichrist comes back. And he's the king of this religion. So he's the anointed one for religion. And everybody's being set up for it in our churches. But get away from that and get to find the risen Lord. And he comes back in Revelation 19, and we will come back with him. 19, I think, is verse 14, I think it is. And we see in verse 28, here's Paul. He says in verse 28, be it known, therefore, unto you, that's to the Jews, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed. They're gone. And had great reasoning among themselves. They had plenty to talk about, didn't they? Paul stuck around for 2 years. It says, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. He must have had a web ministry or something. And received all that came unto him. Preaching what? The kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of heaven, which is what the Jewish is all about. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Jesus right there, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He just kept doing it. And so we get into Timothy, because now he writes Timothy after this, and this is where he ends his ministry and talks to Timothy and Titus, and then he finally pulls out and he dies, etc., etc. So all these things took place during this time, and this is like Paul's involvement with the Jews as he's been heading out towards the Gentiles. Every time they reject Paul, Paul has rejected the Jews, and on we go. Now, the first thing we read in Romans chapter 11, let's finish up with Romans chapter 10, down into verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, there's Isaiah again, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. But I say, he says, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. That's the Great Commission he's referring to. It was told to everybody. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. But just note in chapter 11, verse 1, I say that hath God cast away his people? God forbid. So you go back and read through 11 and you realize that God has set them aside. He even has a remnant that will accept their grace. But he's not done with them. They're just on the shelf right now while he preaches to the Gentiles through Paul. And when this is all done, 22, it says, thou shalt be cut off. He goes right back into Peter and the Matthew, Mark, Luke gospel teachings and the stuff that Peter teaches about their faith being tested. But what's written to us is Paul. What's written to the tribulation Gentile, to tribulation Jews is Hebrews to the rest of the Bible. What's taught before that was taught to the Jews, and it was taught then to the Gentiles through the Jews in the Great Commission, Acts 1 through 8. And yet some of that carried over with Paul. Paul took some of that stuff trying to reach to the Jews. Finally, he's done with all the Jews, as God says, we're done for now. And Paul goes on to the Gentiles, and that's us. That's the part of the Bible that's written to us. The rest of the Bible is there for us. We still read it all, but we try to live what Paul teaches to us. And we learn the doctrine that the risen Savior, what he's actually done to us. And that's the excitement. And then he says, listen, the reasonable service, can you just sacrifice your body as a holy living sacrifice? I mean, can you change how you dress? Can you change where you go? Can you change some of that stuff? Paul talks about that in Acts 26. Let's change to serve the living God now. Let's make those changes to serve the living God. Not to become a Christian, but because we're one. And Paul says, if you do those things, you will suffer persecution. If you don't, it'll burn up in your judgment seat, but you won't. So Christ really takes care of us. He takes care of sin. And people don't want to hear about it. They'd rather think that they can live a sinningless life. And we all know we can't. Paul knows that, Romans chapter 7. So I guess I'm just yakking on because of DJ. I'm not sure, but you've all heard it before, DJ, but there's a bunch of stuff there that Dad there can just put it on. It's fantastic stuff. There's no fear of God's severity. It's the joy of the goodness of God is what we're learning. And it's all backed up with scriptures, rightly divided, of course, only found in a King James Bible. Not found nowhere else. I said it right, found nowhere else, not found nowhere else. So there's that. We will do Wednesday night. We will compare Paul's testimony with what our testimony should be, at least somewhat. We'll do that Wednesday night. And there you go.